Okay, guys, so I'd like to talk about with you today, we've been learning the Halachos of Sfira. So Omer, yesterday we spoke about Chadash, just because that comes up at the end of Hilchos Sfira. So Omer, and there's another aspect of Sfira, which is the Avelos aspect of Sfira. The Avelos aspect of Sfira is interesting, and for many people it's like the most noticeable part of Sfira, in terms of the not shaving, in terms of the no music, in terms of not getting married. I just want to briefly go through these dinim of Sfira, try to give some sort of mahalach. The first source is the Gemara Yevamos Daf Samach Beis, which is the well-known source about how the Avelos Sfira is based on the fact that Rebbe Akiva had 12,000 pairs of Talmidim, which means a total of 24,000 Talmidim. They lived in this area all the way from Gefes until Antiphras, and they all died, Kulam Mesu Perek Echad, Mipnishal Nahagu Kavad Zebazah. All of the students of Rebbe Akiva died. The Gemara tells us of this terrible disease called Askara.
Askara
means like that their tongue flares up and it ends up choking them. So all the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva.
Mama, what's it called now?
I don't know what we call it now in English, Yosef Dov, but it's called Askar and Gemara Lashon. All the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died because the Talmidim didn't show respect to each other. They were lo nahagu kavod zeh bezeh. It's very important that Talmidim should respect each other. That's the basic point in the Gemara. And there was no one left. And then Rabbi Akiva famously taught these five Talmidim, and all of Torah came from these five Talmidim. The Gemara then comments that they died from Pesach Ad Atzeres, that they died between the Yontiv of Pesach and the Yontiv of Shavuos. The Pashtus in this Gemara is that whatever dinim we have of Sfira, whatever Isurim we have of Avelos, which is based on the death of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, that should be the entire time from Pesach until Atzeres. The entire time from Pesach until Shavuos is really when we should observe this Avelos. In fact, in the Sefer Minhagei Yisrael of Professor Sperber, in Volume 1 of the Minhagei Yisrael, he gives a lot of mekoros on this question, and he points out that the earliest sources of Avelos during Sfira, the sources that are found in the Tshuvos of the Gaonim, all have Avelos the entire time of Sfira. So Omer, there is no break between day 1 of Sfira and day 49 of Sfira. There's Avelos the entire time. For the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, of Asar B'Teves is one day, the Mishivah Asar B'Tamuz, again, Asar B'Teves is the beginning of a siege, right? That's what it is. Right, I mean, the beginning of a siege is one day. Shivah Asar B'Tamuz, they breach the walls, so that happens in one day. Tisha B'Av, it happens, the Gemara says, that it began to burn on the 9th, but it continued to burn on the 10th, maybe a little bit longer. Rove of it was burned on the 10th. But again, on all these tragedies, we mark the beginning of something happening. For some reason, when it comes to the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva that die, I think this is your question, we don't only observe the beginning of when they die, we observe the entire time that they continue to die. And that would be L'cha'ora, according to the Gemara, the entire time of Sfiras HaOmer. That means we should observe Avelos the whole time. And, right? So your question is a good question. I don't know the answer to your question. I'm just like rambling in part to try to answer your question. Now, in later generations, the Mekubalim came along. The Mekubalim, the students of the Arizal, and they observed Sfira also the entire time. But their practice of observing the entire time of Sfira was somewhat limited. They split between cutting one's hair and shaving. They would not cut their hair the entire time, but they would shave at some point after Lag BaOmer. That was the minhag of the Arizal. fine. There are two other minhagim. So one minhag is that we keep Sfira all 49 days. There are two other minhagim that came up in Poskim. One minhag is the minhag of the Mechaber, and according to certain Ashkenazim, that's the minhag, and that is that we keep Sfira until Lag Ba'omer. There's a bit of a question. The Mechaber holds that you have to keep Sfira all of Lag Ba'omer until the day 34 of the Omer. The Ramah says that you break your Sfira on day 33 of the Omer, but fundamentally that din is until Lag Ba'omer. And then there's another minhag of Sfira that developed, which was a traditional minhag in Ashkenaz, but I think is becoming less and less prevalent today, which is that they would basically begin Sfira on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and they would continue the Avelos of Sfira until a short time before the Yontif of Shavuos, until the Shlosh Yimei Hagbalah, or something to that effect. So those are the three basic minhagim. Again, there's a well-known Tshuva Negris Moshe, that fundamentally the minhagim are the same, but that's not really Shayach. Because one minhag is that you keep the whole time of Sfira, the other minhag is that you keep until Lag Ba'omer, and the third minhag is that you don't really start until Rosh Chodesh. Okay. Grand. What are these minhagim based on? I understand the minhag of keeping the entire Sfira, that's based on the Gemara. But where does the minhag of keeping until Lag Ba'omer come from? So if you look in the Sefer HaManhig, it's the fourth source that you have on the sheet. The Sefer HaManhig is written by the Ravon HaYarchi. He was a Rishon in Provence in the 12th century. So he writes, "V'ein minhag lichnos ben Pesach la'atzeres." There's no, you're not supposed to get married. "V'lo mipnei she'isur yesh b'davar, elo l'minhag avelos al mashi'ira, sheba oso aperek meisu yudbeis, elav zugos tamir v'bekiva, ashon nagu kovod zavaseh, elo mekadshin," because there's no simchan kedushin. In other words, there are two stages to marriage. There's kedushin, when you designate your wife to be yours. That's the Oser, and then the Suin is the Matir. So the Ravon HaYarchi, the Sefer HaManhig, says that you don't get married between this time, and if you get married, we don't punish you. V'ach minig b'tzarfesu Provence, lichnos milag ba'omer la'elach. Right? In other words, the Ravon HaYarchi is quoting different minhagim in different areas, and he says the minig in France, both northern France, the Paris area, and southern France, the French Riviera, which we call Provence, the minig is that they get married after Lag Ba'omer. And he says, "V'shamati b'shem Reb Zerachya migurunda, shemata kasi b'sefer yashan haba misfarad." Right, it's funny that this minhag comes from an old book that came from Spain, "Shemesu mipesach ad protz atzeres." Right, the way we have the text in the Gemara is that they died from Pesach until Shavuos, from Pesach ad atzeres. But the minhag, but the Gemara's girsa, the way it appears in, the way the Gemara appears in this girsa of the old Sefer from Sfarad, it says they died from Pesach until Pros Atzeres. The word Pros means half. Half of Shavuos. What's half of Shavuos? Well, he explains, well, since you're supposed to prepare for Pesach for 30 days, so you're also supposed to prepare for Shavuos.
I'm not going to do anything.
You're also supposed to prepare for Shavuos, Yosef Dov, for 30 days. And if I'm supposed to prepare for 30 days, so half of 30 days is 15 days. And therefore, I deduct 15 days from 49 days of Sefira, and I end up with a total of 34 days, and that's how you get Lag Ba'omer. Again, so the source of Lag Ba'omer is not found anywhere in the Gemara. It's not found in Midrashim. It's not even found in the Zohar. There is no source in traditional Judaism that Lag Ba'omer is the yahrzeit of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. There's a beautiful lecture by Schneur Lyman where he goes through all of this. There is no traditional source in Judaism that Lag Ba'omer is the yahrzeit of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. The best source for Lag Ba'omer is this Sefer Hamanhig of the Ravon Hayarchi, where he has a girsa in the Gemara that the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva did not die the entire Sfira period. They died from Pesach ad Pros Atzeres. They died from Pesach until halfway before Shavuos. And since he understands that halfway before Shavuos means 15 days, so you deduct 15 from 49 and you end up with 34, and somehow 34 became 33, I guess, because you're allowed to be off by one in Gematria. I don't fully understand this, but that is the source. Now, the third minhag, the traditional minhag in Ashkenaz, that no avelos of Sfira would be used. They would not do any avelos of Sfira throughout Chodesh Nisan. They would begin the avelos of Sfira on Rosh Chodesh Iyar. That practice is very hard to know where it comes from. They would begin Rosh Chodesh Iyar and then they'd continue until right before Shavuos. Very hard to know where that practice comes from. Professor Sperber argues in his Sefer Minhagei Yisrael, there in Volume 1, that there are various...
Can I have Shabbos cereal? Okay, I'll take that as a yes. There, can I have Shabbos cereal?
Yosef, I'm a teacher!
I'm saying sure now, Yosef.
Answer my question!
Yosef, I said no, and I'm saying sure.
Andrew also will be forced to fire.
There are basic...
No. 1 second.
Violin! Okay, let me just get my chain of thought back. The basic idea is that there are certain piyutim called azulas. Azulas is recited, I believe, as a piyut in middle birchas kriyashma. And during the weeks of Sfira, or specifically during the weeks of Sfira beginning Rosh Chodesh Iyar and onward, they would say azulas every Shabbos, and the azulas every Shabbos involved discussions of Jewish communities being destroyed, discussions of avelos. That means that the Jewish people decided to incorporate into the liturgy, Jewish people in Ashkenaz incorporated into the liturgy, special statements about avelos during this time. And the avelos that they're talking about is the avelos of the Crusades. Many of the Crusades happened at this time. Not all of Sfira. They happened from Rosh Chodesh Iyar and on. And that is why there is avelos in Ashkenaz beginning on Rosh Chodesh Iyar. This time in Ashkenaz, right, Chodesh Nisan, they would not observe Avelos of Sfira. Because for Ashkenazi Jewry, the Avelos of Sfira is not really about the Misa of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. That might be why you don't get married during Sfira. But the practice of not shaving, not getting haircuts, etc., that for Ashkenazim is because of the Crusades, and therefore it begins on Rosh Chodesh Iyar. This also explains the practice that although ordinarily on the Shabbos, when there's Mevarchim Rosh Chodesh or the like, we don't say Av HaRachamim, but during Sfira we do say Av HaRachamim, because the tefillah of Av HaRachamim was instituted during the Crusades, and because it was instituted during the Crusades, so since this period of Sfira is the time when so many of the tragedies of the Crusades in 1096 took place, that's why this is the period of Avelos. So it would seem as follows. If I take these ideas, I end up with a split. There's Sfira in the sense of not getting married, which might be because of not having too much Simcha. And then there's another Sfira of some sort of Avelos. And for Ashkenaz, the Avelos of Sfira has nothing to do with the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, but it has everything to do with the Crusades. That is the first Yesod. Next Yesod. Next idea that we want to talk about. In traditional sources, the Avelos of Sfira related to not getting married. That's it. The only thing that you see in the Torah and in the Sfarim before the Torah, is you don't get married during Sfira. And even getting married means only Nisuin, not Erisin. That's what happened during Sfira. The idea of not shaving is a much later practice. And not shaving, the first source, the Beis Yosef quotes it, I give it to you on the sheets over here. The Beis Yosef writes, Masha Kasa Yishma Mekomash Nahagu Shalo Lehistaper, Ken Kasav Hari Ibn Shu'ib Bidrashas Yom Rishon Shal Pesach. The Rashba had a Talmud named Ibn Shu'ib. Ibn Shu'ib is not known as a halachic figure. He was a darshan, right? A darshan, rabbis who get up and make long speeches, are not always halachists in the full sense. Ibn Shu'ib, in one of his drushes, says that you also should not shave. That's the earliest source. What that really means is that the source of not getting married is a more significant source than not shaving. And it certainly is more significant, has more basis, than not listening to music during Sfira. There's a tshuva in Reb Ovadia Hadaya. Reb Ovadia Hadaya was a posek in, I believe, in Petach Tikva, actually. I believe he was like the Sfaradi rabbi in Petach Tikva, a contemporary of Reb Hirsch Pesach Frank. And Reb Reuven Katz was the Reb in Petach Tikva at that time. So Reb Ovadia Hadaya, in his tshuva Yaskil Avde, he discusses whether what types of sfira apply on Yom HaTzma'ut. You know, Yom HaTzma'ut is a yontif. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made miracles. We have a Medina. So it's a yontif. You have to celebrate yontif. On the other hand, it's during Sfira. So what do you do on Yom HaTzma'ut? Are you allowed to shave on Yom HaTzma'ut? So he writes, absolutely. The minhag of not shaving during Sfira is a less significant thing than the ikar din of observing a yontiv on Yom HaTzma'ut. He feels that a yontiv on Yom HaTzma'ut is ma'amish mi'ikar hadin, and not shaving during Sfira is a lower level than that. Okay. Music. So music helps you observe the yontiv. So therefore, you can have music on Yom HaTzma'ut. For somehow the minhag in YU is that they have music on Yom HaTzma'ut, but many guys don't shave. I remember when I was in yeshiva in Israel, everyone used to shave on Yom HaTzma'ut. The pashtus is that shaving itself is a lower level minhag. And therefore, Yom HaTzma'ut is a yontiv, so you're allowed to shave. What about getting married? Are you allowed to get married during Yom HaTzma'ut? So it could be not. It could be that because getting married is the most mikori of these, the most source-based of all of these minhagim, so maybe you should not get married on Yom HaTzma'ut, even though you'd be allowed to shave, and even though you'd be allowed to, and even though you're allowed to listen to music. Now, so it's an earlier makar, but like when I deal with minhagim in general, the earlier the minhag, the more binding it is. Like a minhag that began yesterday is less binding than a minhag that began, you know, with my great great grandfather. That's the basic idea. That's correct, but if you understand that Yom HaTzma'ut is not just a minhag, that Yom HaTzma'ut is a full-fledged chiyuv of a yontiv, so then one should argue that Yomim Tovim trump all things within minhagim. So correct. No, I agree with you. In other words, I could hear a svara why marriage itself should be allowed. Nonetheless, I think the poskim are more machmir on marriage because they are less convinced of the full-fledged yontiv element of Yom HaTzma'ut. If I'd be fully convinced that Yom HaTzma'ut is a full-fledged yontiv, if I'd be saying halal with a bracha, so then I'd permit getting married. But because in our world, challah with a bracha has kind of fallen out of service. That means that we're nervous to declare Yom Ha'atzma'ut as a full-fledged yontiv. Once we're nervous for that, so therefore we don't get married as well. Does that part make sense? Whoa! If challah's, if it's a real yontiv, so then you say challah, and you say challah with a bracha. The fact that we say challah without a bracha shows that we're showing that we are assuming it's not a full-fledged yontiv. No, I mean, I don't think so. I think what we're saying is that Yom Ha'atzma'ut may be a real yontiv. We're treating it like a partial yontiv. And if it's like a partial yontiv, it could suspend the lower level minhagim, not the higher level minhagim. That's sort of the halachic calculus, the way I understand it. But you're right, it's something that's worth serious thought. It's worth very serious thought. Okay. Again, I'm trying to explain to the best of my ability. Sometimes that's certainly possible. I will not deny that. In other words, Gershon is like, he's saying, oh, if it's a full-fledged yontiv, so in the arvin simcha b'simcha, you're not getting married. But then again, if it's a full-fledged yontiv, I'm not allowed to shave on yontiv also. It's a malacha. Do you know anyone who doesn't go to work on Yom Ha'atzma'ut because of the Isser Malacha? That would take already, right? That would take like 17 halachic leaps. Okay. I want to learn with you a tshuva of the Radvaz. It's on the second page that I emailed to you. A tshuva of the Radvaz. 1 second. Do you guys have it?
So what was the left doing? What were the liberals and the socialists and communists doing?
Fighting amongst themselves.
All fighting with each other.
Okay, 1 second. So it should be the second page over here. Here, let me just send it again. I think everyone should have it now. The Tshuva of the Radvaz, it's found right on top of the Aruch HaShulchan on the second page. You know, it says in Shulchan Aruch that no matter which minhag of Sfira you have, you're not allowed to shave on Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Rosh Chodesh Iyar, which is going to be Friday, tomorrow, and Shabbos, you're not allowed to shave. It happens this year because Rosh Chodesh Iyar is also Erev Shabbos, so the Mishnah Berurah paskins that even if you don't shave normally during Sfira, you are allowed to shave because of the double, I call it like double witching hour. The Simcha of Rosh Chodesh combined with the Simcha of Erev Shabbos permits me to shave on Rosh Chodesh Iyar this year. But every year, you should not shave on Rosh Chodesh Iyar because it is... It's Sfira, according to all opinions. Rosh Chodesh Iyar is Sfira. Right? According to the opinion that we go until Lag BaOmer, and according to the opinion that it starts on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, but no matter what, Rosh Chodesh Iyar is part of this type, is part of the Sfira where we don't shave. So the Mechaber says, don't shave on Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Those people who shave on Rosh Chodesh Iyar are acting improperly. That's the top line of the second page. Yesh no hagen l'stap Rosh Chodesh Iyar v'ta'os hu biyadam. The Mechaber says it's a mistake. To shave on Rosh Chodesh Iyar is a mistake. Now the Radvaz has a tshuva, where the Radvaz disagrees with this Mechaber. By the way, who was the Radvaz? When and where did he live? Anyone? Before Moshe Arishon? Maybe, kind of, probably not. Like he's sort of borderline. So Radvaz is a Jew who lived in Egypt. He was the chief rabbi in Cairo. And on his 80th birthday, he decided, listen, I'm 80 years old. It's Shein Sait. He said it in Yiddish, according to tradition, right? And he says, Shein Sait, I'm moving to Israel. 80 years old, the Radvaz moves to Israel. And he decides he wants to die in Eretz Yisrael, and he just wants to spend his last years learning. He doesn't want anyone to bother him. So he moves to this part of Israel where almost no one is there. He picks a city called Tzfat. The Radvaz moved to Tzfat when he's 80 years old. The Radvaz's good luck or bad luck is right at the time that he moves to Tzfat, there's a group of young mekubalim who move into Tzfat. These young whippersnappers, including Reb Yitzchak Luria, the Arizal. The Arizal died at age 34. The Radvaz died at age 110. The Radvaz wrote some 5,000 tshuvas in his life, and the Radvaz's Talmud was the Arizal. So the Arizal is learning by a Rebbe who's some 65 years older than him. That's his Rebbe. And I remember my first Rosh Hashiva meeting in YU. I ended up sitting next to Reb Gershon Yankelevich. And I'm thinking, I'm like, this man is 65 years older than I am. It's kind of cool when you think about it. No, I was like 35 or so, and he was around 100. Okay, it could happen. The Radvaz had a Talmud who's 65 years younger than him. That's the Arizal. So the Radvaz has a Shaila. Sha'alta mimeno, ma'asha nohagul istapir rosh chodesh iyar, is it a good minag or bad minag? So he writes in the tshuva, ana avidna uvda b'nafshoi v'ani mistapir ko rosh chodesh nisan, kol chodesh nisan v'rosh chodesh iyar. Says the Radvaz, I myself shave on rosh chodesh iyar. I do it myself. V'chei nohagu rov ha'olam. And this is done by most of the world. V'hatam, his reason is, Kevan Shem Asurim Behesbiru Betainis. Rosh Chodesh is a day that you're not allowed to give a hesped. Rosh Chodesh is a day that it's usur to fast. So therefore, Ein Avela Zushu Tali Minhag Noheg Bahem Vechen Chasu B'Shem Ataisvis. Right? Says the Radvaz that the yontiv element of Rosh Chodesh, the fact that on Rosh Chodesh I don't do a hesped or a tainis, that is more powerful than the iser of. That's more powerful than not shaving. It's a yontiv. Therefore, you shave. I, the Beis Yosef, says that's a mistaken minhag. Says the Radvaz, it's wrong. Ainu nachum klau. Dafil lididan, that we don't have the iser tasboris until Lag BaOmer. But Rosh Chodesh doesn't count. Rosh Chodesh is not part of the iser. Since Rosh Chodesh is also behesper tainis, and the Iker Tisporas is not Minadin, it's a Minhag. A Minhag is Mevatel, the Minhag, etc. Moreover, the Radvaz writes, two Iker Taima. I have another reason. The Iker Tsar Begidol HaSeyar L'Mishirugol HaHistaper. Growing hair is painful. If you usually shave, it hurts to have a little bit of a beard, or it's bothersome. V'lo Odef Haim Minhagam Mitzis HaSey Shal Sukkah D'Kaimelo Mitztair Pater. This is like a winner of a line in the Radvaz, no? He says, if mitzta'er, if when you're in distress, you're uncomfortable. So if you're mitzta'er, you're pater from sukkah. So also mitzta'er means that you're allowed to shave. Now that's already a chiddush, no? Mitzta'er is pater from sukkah because there's a pasuk, teshvu ke'en taduru. But the Radvaz apparently is extending this idea, mitzvah being potter from a sukkah, and he says, oh, therefore, it is mitzvah, and therefore you're allowed to shave. And 33 days of growth is tsar. More than that, I see many communities who don't have this minig at all, and they shave every Erev Shabbos, and since it's not a minig that's been throughout the Jewish people, nonetheless, you could follow this minhag, right? Because my minhag is the medium minhag, is the minhag mimutsa uminalo tazuz. Meaning, there are people who shave every Erev Shabbos, even though that's not standard practice, but my practice, says the Radvaz, I don't shave every Erev Shabbos, but I do shave on Rosh Chodesh. This is a better practice. So the Radvaz, I find this tshuva really interesting. The Radvaz writes, and his opinion, in his opinion, the iser to shave during Sfira is only a minhag, and the minhag doesn't apply on Rosh Chodesh, because Rosh Chodesh is a yontiv to the extent that we don't do hesped and tainis, and since you're mitzta'er from the minhag, So therefore, just like Mitzvah is exempt from Sukkah, you're here also you're exempt. And there are some people who don't have the minhag of not shaving every Erev Shabbos. That's what the Radvaz's Shita is. So again, so far what we have is the practice of not getting married. Now we have the practice of not shaving. Now I should point out the practice of not shaving, Rav Soloveitchik felt that this practice is the same as the minhag of Avelos, Rachman Litzlam, when a person loses a parent, so the person does not shave for Shloshim, for 30 days, and then you have to wait, after losing a parent, by Ovi Ve'imo, you have to wait, actually, Yigaru Bo Chaverov. The Adin of Avelos of 12 months, that one observes her parent, you continue the Avelos, insofar as not shaving, until people tell you, you know what, your face looks terrible. When they say that your face looks like an underarm, that's when you're allowed to shave after you lose a parent. That's the halacha. Rav Soloveitchik felt that whatever avelos there is during Sfira is no more chamor than the avelos of Achigar Bobachaveirov, and therefore once you don't look good, you're allowed to shave. That means once you have stubble of like 2 or 3 days, you're allowed to shave. There's a suffix in Reb Kiva Eger and Hilchas Avelos. Do you have to wait to 2 or 3 days every time? Right? In other words, do you say that if I shaved on Erev Shabbos, I can't shave again until Friday, or until Wednesday, until it begins to look bad? Or do I say, no, once I have the first Ashigar B'chaveira of them, I'm allowed to shave every other time? So I remember when I went for my interview to get smicha from Dr. Lamb. So Dr. Lamb asked, he says, look at my face. Why is it that I have a bit of stubble? So he asked one other guy who's now a prominent rabbi. He's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Baruch Hashem, I knew this Reb Kiva Eger. So he's like, very good, very good. And then he says, what else do you have to say about shaving during Sfira? So he said, I don't understand why this minhag developed. It's only based on the drasha of Ibn Shu'ib. He's not like a halachic figure. So that one was like, yes, I've been bothered by this question my entire adult life. I'm like, okay. Whatever, it's like a very strange... But that was my interview. Dr. Lamb used to sign the smichas, and he refused to sign the smicha unless he met with the guys and spoke and learning with them a bit. So that was how I got smicha, because I knew this Reb Kiva Eger in Hilchas Avelos. So that's what we have in terms of not shaving. The Rav felt that you're allowed to shave during Sfira, providing you get to the point of Achigar B'chaveira, when your friends start telling you that you don't look good, that's when you're allowed to shave during Sfira, according to Rav Soloveitchik. You know what? Rav Soloveitchik, as a brisker, felt that everything has to be categorized. It's right? In other words, I could look at the dinim of Sfira and say that there's a minig not to shave, ad kan. But the briskers feel that everything has to fit into a category. So therefore the Rav said, you know what, this minig not to shave is really based on dinim and avelos. So he has to plug it into categories, to pre-existing categories. Right, there's no reason why you have to do this. But like what we've spoken about a few times, the Rav used to paskin halacha based on lumdus, which itself is very mechudash, right? His grandfather, Reb Chaim, didn't paskin halacha based on lumdus. That's why there was someone else in Brisk. Reb Simcha Zelig used to paskin the shaylas in Brisk, not Reb Chaim. Because Reb Chaim said, listen, I'm worried that I'm going to come to halachic conclusions that other people don't have. And therefore, I'm not going to paskin shaylas. Let Reb Simcha Zelig paskin. Reb Soloveitchik diverted from his grandfather's Mesorah, and he started paskining shaylas. Again, someone has to write this up. I spoke about this years ago. They invited me to a conference in University of Pennsylvania to talk about how halacha works. I ended up debating Ethan Tucker at this conference about how halacha works. So one of the things that like is questionable in the way we observe halacha is to what extent do we accept the sources as sources, and to what extent do we try to conceptualize the sources and fit them in and not paskin based on the straight source. I think Reb Chaim's reticence to paskin was because he felt fundamentally it's not just based on the source itself, but he was worried that he would end up in wrong places or in places that could not be accepted. There's a lot to be said about that. But let's just go back. Rav Soloveitchik felt you're allowed to shave during Sfira. I heard years ago from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zichrono Livracha, that Rav Soloveitchik had a heter to shave during Sfira. That the Rav was saying, if you want to shave during Sfira, kol hakavod. But there's no obligation to shave during Sfira. That's where Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zichrono Livracha, used to say it. There's no chiv to shave during Sfira. But the Rav had a heter, if you want to, you can. I've heard many times from Rav Schechter that Rav Schechter feels that there's an obligation to shave during Sfira. The way Rav Schechter says it is that there is an obligation to look kempt. That's his expression. You have to look like a normal person. You can't look in the way that your face looks like an underarm. It's just not proper. You have to look kempt. So therefore, Rav Schechter feels that you should shave during Sfira no matter what. I sent a shayla to Rav Schechter this year that I don't particularly look kempt because my hair is very overgrown because barbers were closed before Pesach. Am I allowed to shave during Sfira when I do look overgrown? Right? In other words, does Achigar Bochaveirov apply to your entire demeanor, your hair on the head, whatever hair on your head remains, and the hair on your face, they're all one? Or do I say that no? I say, listen, we look at them separately. And even though you are unkempt because you didn't get a haircut, but maybe you still, according to Rav Schechter, have an obligation to shave during Sfira. Rav Schechter felt that obligation to shave during Sfira still applies, etc. So again, Rav Aaron felt it's permitted, but Rav Schechter feels that during Sfira, there's an obligation to shave. Certainly, like we saw in that tshuva of the Radvaz, that there are some who have the minhag to shave Erev Shabbos l'kavod Sfira. Certainly, that's an additional factor to be weighed in. Although, I have to admit that all of these factors are not found in classical poskim. So again, this comes back to the million-dollar question. Do I answer shilas just by knowing sources? Or do I try to fit them into some sort of lumdisha structure, etc.? That's part of the question over here as well. What's the source of not listening to music during Sfira? So, hard to know. Yeah. Oh, absolutely not. Yeah, it's minig wayu. This is not widespread. It's not widespread at all. Right, but in wayu, this is the minig. In the Chafetz Chaim Yeshiva, you should know, they shave l'kavod Shabbos during Sfira. The Penach Leibowitz, the Rosh Yeshiva over there, used to tell the guys to shave l'kavod Shabbos, which is that one opinion in the Radvaz that Now, when you get married during Sfira, we said that you're not supposed to get married in the sense of Nisuin, but Erusin is permitted during Sfira. Erusin is permitted during Sfira because there's no real Simcha. On Tisha B'Av, you're allowed to have Erusin because of Shem Yikad Menu Acher. Maybe somebody is going to ride the stern Shidduch shuttle before you and end up sitting next to her and get married to her. So when you're riding the stern Shidduch shuttle on Tisha B'Av, you're allowed to have Erusin, based on Shema Yikad Menu Acher. But during Sfira, the heter for Erusin is different. The heter for Erusin during Sfira is because during Sfira, higher levels of Simcha are prohibited. Like we saw the Lashon of the Tur, it's Usur Laharbos the Simcha. Erusin is not considered marbe besimcha. There's some joy in stage one of marriage, but it's not the complete joy, and therefore erusin is mutter during Sfira. But the later poskim say, the Mishnah Brura has this, Aruch HaShulchan has this, quoting more classical poskim, that even though you have erusin during Svira, you should not dance. Rikudin and Mecholos you should not have. Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach explains that Mechol means that you're dancing in a circle. There are Mishnayos and Kelayim about Mechol HaKerem. No? A Mechol means that you have a bunch of vines and they are together like in a row. That's a Mecholos. Rikud, right? You could dance one person on your own. Now, by the way, if you try to dance just by yourself, one person on your own, they are going to lock you up because you look like a Meshugana, no? You see one guy dancing on his own, but that's technically Rikud. Rikud means Kishem She'ani Rokade, right? That by Kiddush Levana, I dance on my own, so that's Rikud. But Mecholos has to have many people. So it says in the Poskim that even though you get married during Sfira in the sense of Erisin, but you should not have Rikudin and Mecholos. Again, this is not found in the classical Poskim. This is not found in any Rishon. This is found in later Poskim, like the generation of commentators on the Shulchan Aruch. I believe the earliest source of this is in the Magen Avraham. Not to dance. Based on this idea of not dancing, so the minhag of not listening to music developed. The minhag of not listening to music, there is no source in traditional Judaism that you're not allowed to listen to music during Sfira. Let me one-up you. There's no source in traditional Judaism that you're not allowed to listen to music during Avelos. If a person, Rachman Litzlan, is in Avelos, there's no reason not to listen to music in traditional Judaism. There is an Isser for an Avel to dance. It says in Orechayim, in the halachos of Simchas Torah, and the halachos of Hoshana Rabbah, that an Avel should not do hakafos, because hakafos are dancing. If you're in Avelos, you don't dance. You don't dance. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that he assumes that the Isser of music is an extension of the Isser of dancing. If you can't dance, certainly you can't have the music, which is the music that causes dancing. That would mean that the only type of music that's really Usser, or that the Minhag applies to, is dance-type music. Again, this is Judaism according to me. I've been saying this for years. I noticed that Rav Nochum Rabinowitz Shlita, the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat HaHester, Birkat Moshe in Malei Adumim, Rav Nochum Rabinowitz, who grew up in Montreal and then got a doctorate in mathematics from Johns Hopkins, and he was studying in Ne'er Israel at that time. Rav Nochum Rabinowitz, in his tshuva in the Siach Nachum, he writes that his understanding is that the Isser of music is only dance-type music. Regular music, right? Classical music, for sure, is mutter. Rap music isn't music. Chazonos, right? We have to be careful about how we say this. But even if Chazonos is music, I don't think anyone ever danced to Koussevitzky. I don't think Koussevitzky ever caused people to get in the aisles and to dance. No such thing. These things should be mutter. However, it seems to me also that if the Isser is dance music, people sometimes dance even if the music is not live. The Isser of music, when it comes to the time of Sfira, the minhag of music, is based on dancing. It's not the same as the minhag of music during the 3 weeks, let's say. During the 3 weeks, the minhag of music is because the Gemara writes in Baba Basra that after Korban Beis HaMikdash, people were saying maybe we should not have any music at all. The Gemara in Gittin, on Daf Zayin, says, B'shir lo yish deyayin, there's an issue of music Kol Hashana, because of Korban HaBayis. How we get around that music, Rav Moshe Feinstein has an interesting shuva that he wrote to my father-in-law about how we get around that Isser music. But the pashtus is that the minhag of not listening to music during the 3 weeks is based on Korban HaBayis. If it's based on Korban HaBayis, so the shuva of the Shvus Yaakov says that maybe the only type of music that's usher is the type of music they could have had at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore recorded music doesn't count. But Hanir Lofi Anis Daiti, the music that we don't do during Sfira, is music that will lead to dancing. Even recorded music could lead to dancing. Therefore, I don't think you should listen to recorded music during Sfira. However, if it is a time that people are feeling down and distraught, let's say, for example, you've been locked at home for the last 7 weeks, and, you know, this can make you a little bit nuts, right? Stuck at home 7 weeks, you could go crazy. So, of course, obviously, the Chol HaShe'en Bo Sakana element trumps whatever issur there is of music. Rabbi Willig has been holding pre-Shabbos kumzitzes these weeks. I think musical Havdalah at this time is perfectly fine, because even though it's Sfira, first of all, the minhag of music during Sfira is about dancing, and even if you're going to dance at the musical Havdalah, I would argue that at this time, when people are likely to be down and depressed and distraught, so therefore it's a good time for music. There's another discussion that some of the poskim have about, are you allowed to make a shehechiyanu during Sfira? So the Mishnah Berurah writes it's mutter. All the classical poskim say it's mutter. Rabbi Charlap, who used to be the dean of yeshiva, has a son, Rabbi Zev Wolf Charlap, who's the Rav of the Charedi Yeshuv of Ma'alei Amos. And Rabbi Charlap's son, in his tshuva, Chikrei Zev, he writes to a fellow. He says, you wrote that there is no source in Judaism about not making a Shechiyanu during Sfira. He says, you have to change your mind, because there is a source. Because the Talmud of the Trumas Hadeshen, Rabbi Yosef Yoizel Nathanson Han, in the Sefer Leket Yosher, in the Leket Yosher, he brings a practice of not making a Shechiyanu during Sfira. But even though this practice is not accepted, and we do make Shechiyanu during Sfira, but nonetheless, you can't say that it doesn't appear anywhere in Judaism. That's a nice idea, right? It is mutter to make a Shechiyanu during Sfira. You could buy stuff. There's no... People make mistakes. They think that the dinim of the 3 weeks are the same as the dinim of Sfira. It's absolutely, patently, totally false. So these are some of the points I wanted to make regarding the minhagim of Avelos during Sfira. Any comments, questions, observations, jokes? So that's yeah, so let's go slowly. I don't think that minhagim necessarily work like that. You know, Rav Soloveitchik used to explain that there are two different types of minhagim. One type of minhag is like what you're talking about. Those are like bottom-up minhagim. If people do stuff, so you have to see what they do, and if they do something, so it carries some halachic weight. There's another type of minhag, which is a top-down minhag. A top-down minhag means that the rabbis, the chachamim, say you should do this. But the chachamim are not saying you should do this as a matter of legislation. They're not passing a law. What they are doing is they're saying, you know what, we're going to do this, and this will lead other people to do this because they're following the rabbis. So that type of minhag is like a lower level din. The minhagim that we're talking about, the assumption is that these are lower level dinim. These minhagim are not bottom up, but they are top down. We also spoke about the Rabbeinu Tam, who says that minhag is osios gehenim. There are certain minhagim which are just ruining. Did I tell you the story? Yeah, okay. The story I'll tell you? I'll tell you the story like this. You know Rabbi Danny Rapp? He's like a Rebbe in Yeshiva. So when Rabbi Rapp's mother-in-law was sitting Shiva in Queens, so this very big Talmud Chacham in Queens, Rabbi Shmerel Shulman, comes in to be Menachem Avil. And when Rabbi Rapp's mother-in-law was sitting Shiva, she insisted that there should be a white tablecloth on top of the dining room table, and that there should be a chicken on that tablecloth the whole time. some cooked chicken. And she asked Rav Shmuel Shulman if he knows of such a minhag. This has been the family minhag. So he says, yes, he's aware of this minhag. It says in the poskin, Osir Lasus Kain, Mishum Darke Ha'emori. Okay. That's already, there's a minhag. People have been doing it. But that's a bottom-up minhag. That's a minhag. That's Osios Gehenim. Don't do that. Right? Not everything that people do is a proper thing to do. Well, Minhag Nevi'im is a Minhag Nevi'im, like the Gemara speaks about Chibot Arava there at the end of Sukkah. Minhag Nevi'im means that the Nevi'im instituted something in a top-down way, but they didn't say that you have to do it. But the Gemara there at the end of Sukkah is talking about Minhag Nevi'im versus Takanas Nevi'im is whether they set legislature or whether they just did something with the intention of having people do it afterwards. That is what the Gemara in Sukkah is. But yeah, what I talk about Minhagim is similar to that Minhag Nevi'im idea Besof Masechta Sukkah. Absolutely. The Gemara in the Dharma, both Tesvav and Lamed He, says that Minhagim are binding. And it doesn't tell me only Minhagim of Nevi'im are binding. The Gemara assumes that Minhag is considered a violation of Bal Yachel Midrabanon. You have to keep Minhagim. Now, there are so many different levels of Minhagim. If you want Mara Makomis on this, besides Professor Sperber's work about Minhagim is actually not a conceptual work. He doesn't talk about why Minhagim are binding. The best conceptual work about Minhagim is Reb David Karliner has a tshuva about Minhagim in his Sefer She'ilas David. That's Mamish, the most beautiful essay on Minhagim, besides the Pri Chodesh is Kuntres on Minhagim at the end of Tav Tzadi Vav. Baruch Meir, you have a comment? The 3 weeks is not because of what? I think the minhag during the 3 weeks, Rav Nachum Rabinowitz writes in this tshuva, the minhag of not listening to music during the 3 weeks is different. Minhag of not music during the 3 weeks is because we should really listen to no music all year long. Because the Gemara says that after Churban Beis HaMikdash, there should be no music. We can't live up to that all year long. But L'chala Pachos, 3 weeks a year, we could live up to that minhag. Just like the minhag of not eating meat and not drinking wine during the 9 days.
You unspotlighted him?
Right, just like the minhag of not eating meat and not drinking wine during the 9 days is because of that Gemara in the Gemara in Baba Basra. That says that after Churban Beis HaMikdash, we should really not have meat and drink wine, because how can you have these things since there's no longer any karbanos? Right? These things are based on what Churban HaBayis caused. It's not based on Avelos. Right? Adarab, an Avel is allowed to drink wine, no? The Gemara tells us in Ksubis that they would give a certain number of cups of wine to the Avel. As Lunivri Yayin Alanathi Bosa Avelim. Right? So it's not really based on Avelos. It's based on Churban Beis HaMikdash is Mechayev certain actions which help us remember the Beis HaMikdash more. It's hard to know the source as well. I mean, the source might be. Actually, the Vilna Gaon writes that this is the source of not eating meat and drinking wine. And it makes sense. Again, like, this is Svara. It makes sense that Gemara in Gittin about how after Korban HaBayis you should not listen to music. It makes sense that would be the source of no music during the 3 weeks. That's right. And during saying a Shachiyano during the 3 weeks we don't do, because the 3 weeks is a bad time. It's an inauspicious time. You shouldn't say Shachiyano v'kiman v'gimnas manazeh. It's a bad time. Not getting married during the 3 weeks is because it's a bad time. You're not supposed to hit your Talmidim during the 3 weeks because it's a bad time. Your Talmid might get hurt. Or maybe it's a bad time that your Talmid won't get hurt. Right? Depending on how you define bad. But the point is that the practices of the 3 weeks are not the same. In the Dirshu Mishneh Berurah, they quote that Reb Chaim Tenyeski said that my father, the stapler, used to always say that people make a mistake. They assume that the dinim of the 3 weeks are the same as the dinim of Sfira. It's absolutely not true. It's just not true. Okay, gentlemen. You should have a wonderful day. You should have a good chance. If the Chavra wants, we can learn tomorrow morning, let's say around 9:45. Would that work for guys? Okay, so 9:45 tomorrow. Once again, I'm just going to end this meeting now because I have a phone call set with somebody at this point. Okay, Chavra, have a wonderful day. Zay gebencht. Take care.
Great.